Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Sunra. No Jesse Hall for this episode. Holiday week, American Thanksgiving this week, it's a lot of busyness, complications, so not able to connect with Jesse this week to record, but I still want to provide content for all the Packers fans listening. So sorry, Packers fans. After beating the Cowboys, it was okay. It ended that five-game losing streak. Is this the start of a win streak? And it turned out to not be the case. They lost 27-17 to the Tennessee Titans. Pretty disappointing loss, to be honest. Again, coming off the win against the Cowboys, who, by all accounts, I think are a better team than the Titans. So I don't really know how they looked so good against the Cowboys and then so bad against the Titans. But the truth is, the Cowboys kind of shot themselves in the foot. Like, they had a lead, they blew it in the second half, they blew it in overtime. Like, by all accounts, Packers probably should have lost that game and should currently be on a seven-game losing streak. So let's just say we're really fortunate that they somehow beat the Cowboys to not have that type of awful losing streak that, again, I have never seen in my lifetime as a Packers fan. So, yeah, let's just be thankful for the Cowboys win. But this Titans loss, I think there was some good that came from it. Christian Watson, now that every other receiver is, well, yeah, Alan Lazard's there, but I know Cobb has just returned, but still looks like he needs to some time before he's 100% healthy. And I mean, we know Lazard's been questionable this year too. I mean, even Watson's missed time. So it's not like any of these receivers are 100% healthy, but without Romeo Dubs and with Lazard getting all that extra attention, it forced someone else to step up. And Christian Watson, 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games. Now, I don't think he caught any of them with his hands. They were all body catches, so that's still something he needs to work on, but that was something that's kind of like made him very much like MVS coming out of college. Great speed, great ability to get open. Doesn't have the hands, though. And frankly, even with 5 touchdowns in 2 games, I still don't think Watson has the hands, but at least it looks like he's gaining confidence in just, you know, his route running, being at the right spot at the right time, and you know, some of these catches were contested catches too, which I think one of his touchdowns was actually a hands catch because it was a tough catch in the end zone. He really needed to bring it down. But I think 4 of his 5 touchdowns have been, he's wide open and he can afford to body catch it. Again, the one good play, I can't remember which game it was in anymore, if it was in the Titans game or the Cowboys game, one of his touchdowns was a contested catch in the end zone. Really good placement by Rodgers, of course, as Aaron Rodgers always does, even with his broken thumb. Really, the only game that Rodgers has seemed to be affected by that broken thumb was like the end of the Giants game when he broke it, and then the next week, the Jets game, he looked awful. Since then, he's been fine. So, yeah, it's still fractured. It's still not fully healed, but he's throwing fine, and some of those throws to Watson were proof. So good to see that Watson at least starting to use his hands to catch the ball as opposed to letting it come into his body. He just needs to do that more consistently. I mean, what? He's had 7 games of NFL experience, so it's... there's still tons of time in his career. Not even a quarter way through his rookie contract yet. So, I mean, I guess he could be like Amari Rodgers and get cut halfway through his rookie contract. Not even. So, yeah, clearly he won't be, though. I think he already has more touchdowns in 2 games than Amari Rodgers is probably ever going to have in his career. So, yeah, I guess that's the other news that came before the Titans game, actually, was the Packers were releasing Amari Rodgers. It's funny. Jesse and I on the reaction to the Cowboys episode had spoken about that. If Amari Rodgers isn't on special teams returning, he's not a good enough gunner to help on special teams. Like, he really just needs to be returning. That's the only role he can fit. Not good enough to contribute on offense. If he's not returning kicks and punts, there's no point having him on the team. And clearly the Packers agreed because they just flat out released him. Still had, you know, 2+ seasons left on his rookie contract. Doesn't matter. You're completely useless to this team. Get out of here. So, yeah, goodbye, Amari Rodgers. Man, another 3rd-round pick wasted. I'm getting real tired of that. So the new plan for the Packers has to be trade away their 3rd-round picks every year. Because they clearly, you're better off in using those 3rd-round picks, investing in players, than you are drafting players in the 3rd round. Because they haven't not... It feels like it's been a decade since they've actually successfully made a 3rd-round pick. I can go back and check to the names I would consider to be good 3rd-round picks. But I feel like it's... I don't think it's Gutekunst. It goes back to Ted Thompson, that's for sure. So yeah, bye Amari Rodgers. Hope to never see you on the Packers again. I'm pretty sure, who did he sign with? Because I saw him on a team. He wasn't active in week 11. Was it the Jaguars? I can't remember. It's some trash team that is not... I mean, good for them. I'm good for Rodgers to keep getting employed, because shouldn't really say good for whatever team has him. Is it the Texans? I think it seems like it's a bad team like that. Texans or Jaguars, so where he deserves to be probably, or I don't know. I just don't see Amari Rodgers fitting as a football player. But yeah, definitely not fitting on the Packers, that's for sure. So with all this happening, again, good on Christian Watson. To me, this loss was on the defense. I mean, the offense should score more than 17 points, to be fair. But the defense had no answer all game for Derrick Henry, and which is really disappointing, because in the past, they've been able to bottle him up and not allow these monster Derrick Henry performances. And this wasn't like a huge performance by him. It's not like, well, speaking of the Texans, I think he had over 200 rushing yards against the Texans a couple weeks ago. And I think he averages close to 200 yards rushing against the Texans over the last like three seasons. So it's not that, but still, it seemed like every time they needed a first down, he would get it. Or when they ran on first down, the yards were so good that it set up really good short yardage situations on the later downs. So the truth is, Kenny Clark was having some success early when he was blocking, I think, mostly the center one-on-one. They had him on the inside. It seemed like he was doing okay, wasn't getting massive penetration, but also was able to get off his blocks and make plays. Even if it was past the line of scrimmage, it would still be contributing. And then, the Packers started moving him around, but what ended up happening is the Titans really adjusted to Clark, it seems. They were fine going one-on-one for a little bit, and as Clark started to dominate more and more, they started to double-team him almost every play. And so that was a great adjustment made by the Titans defense. So, Mike Vrabel as the head coach, not the defensive coordinator on the team, but clearly it's his defense, and I wonder how much of that philosophy had gone into it. Maybe he didn't make that decision necessarily on game day, but that was probably something he had huge input going into the week of, okay, I messed up there. I'm talking about Kenny Clark. What I really should be talking about is the offensive coordinator, but I could see Vrabel, again, being such a, it seems like he's a really hands-on coach. It's almost like the opposite of Matt LaFleur, to be honest. Matt LaFleur is very much in the game plan, the philosophy, but the day-to-day installing the offense and the day-to-day making sure that the specifics are met, that's really on the assistant coaches. It seems like Vrabel's the opposite. Vrabel very much, even though he's a head coach, he doesn't call any plays on either side because he's so focused on the details and the big picture at the same time. Vrabel's great. I think he's a better head coach than Matt LaFleur. So maybe you could argue LaFleur was outcoached because that adjustment was made. And it's not like the Packers, like Joe Barry was making, again, some adjustments with Clark. I mean, not really adjustments, because they've been doing this all year, moving him around, not having him just play as a nose tackle. They want him as a defensive end at times. So they've been doing that all season. So it's like they did that in the game, I think, especially once they saw that Clark was being double teamed a lot. They did that, but it's, I don't know if that's necessarily an adjustment to the game or that's just something that they've done kind of throughout anyway. But if it seems like and that's been the problem over the last few years, if Clark can't get off the block and make the play in the backfield, it's a positive gain and it's a big gain. And that seemed to be the case. Once they were able to really stop Kenny Clark, the Packers defensive line had no answer. Preston Smith did okay. Preston Smith's having a way better season than Rashawn Gary, I think. Gary still, yes, he can put up the sack numbers and he's really explosive. But again, being out of position, not that he's horrible in the run game. Because I think really his being out of position does happen more in the pass game, which in this game against the Titans wasn't as big a deal since they barely threw. They didn't need to throw, though, because, again, the run defense was so bad. I mean, let's call it like it is. This team really misses Devondre Campbell. They're really hoping they get him back soon. If it is a high ankle sprain, though, expect him to be out a month. So we're probably only about halfway through his missed time. Like, I don't expect him to play against the Eagles. I'll pull up the injury report in a bit just to see what's happening. But yeah, that Titans loss, very disappointing. And it seems like the Titans offensive line just won the line of scrimmage. They own the Packers defensive line and the linebackers to set things up on the second level. I don't know. I guess I'm having a hard time thinking how they could have done differently. They just needed to execute better. Like, there's not anything schematically about Joe Barry's defense that was wrong this game, I felt. Titans were just the better team. And, I mean, to be fair, they're winning their division. Talked about the Texans and Jags already, bad teams in that division. They're going to win their division. Like, that's almost, I know the Chiefs have a better record than them, but because of the better teams that are chasing the Chiefs in their division, it does already seem like the Titans have kind of They haven't officially locked up the division spot. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, but it really just does seem like the Titans are going to win the AFC South, and it's not really with much struggle. Kind of like this game against the Packers, where they impose their will. They wanted to run a ton with Derrick Henry. That's it. In games where they can, they will do that, and this was a game they definitely could. Definitely succeeded at it. So, again, what Packers fans have to kind of pick up the shambles of this now is back to the thoughts before the Cowboys game of this season does feel like it's over. I'm having a hard time seeing how this team makes the playoffs, honestly. So we're going to stick with it. And obviously, you know, me giving up or not giving up isn't going to have any bearing on the team. That's the players and the coaches need to. And Matt LaFleur has talked about it before, but, you know, just try and be 1-0 every week. And that's really what they have to do. Blinders on, one game at a time. It's very cliche, but the reason it's cliche is because that's the only way it works. If they're thinking too much about the big picture, how they have to basically win out if they want to have any hope of making the playoffs, what'll happen is they'll play so tight, being so afraid to make mistakes, that they'll leave themselves exposed and they'll make even more mistakes. You have to just trust your instincts and go, and that's the only way you can play. And by doing that is win this game coming up. And so we'll see as the Packers keep going on this season, if they're able to keep that one week at a time mentality. Because the further these losses pile up, I think the Packers are now 4-7. The more that number in the loss column keeps going up, the more and more that this team could get dragged down by that if they're not just focused on the one week at a time. So it'll be a real test all throughout the season of can they keep that mental resolve. All right, so let's look at the injury report for the Packers. And really the big absences at practice this week are the two players that we expect still to be out and miss time. Devondre Campbell, I've already talked about him, and actually I did reference Romeo Dubs earlier, so I guess Devondre Campbell wasn't a high ankle sprain. I messed up there. It's a knee injury. Now, it's not a serious season-ending knee injury, but it's a sprain of some sort that will require time. Dubs is the high ankle sprain, so that's one where that'll be, history of NFL high ankle sprains. If the player doesn't miss a month, they come back and they probably re-aggravate it. So, and knowing the Packers are especially patient with players coming off injuries, I'd imagine they're not going to be stupid with Dubs. They have to wait a month before bringing him back at the very least. And it's probably closer to 6 to maybe even 8 weeks for him to be fully healed. So I kind of expect the Packers to take their time with it, because if they don't and he comes back too early and he re-aggravates it again and you have to restart that month timeline, it's probably the end of the season. So it's really important, I think, to not rush Dubs back. Let him come at his time, because if they do rush him back, they risk losing him for the rest of the season. And I don't think the next season would be in jeopardy if he re-aggravated a high ankle sprain. But I suppose the risk could be a different injury that potentially puts next year in danger. So I say Dubs hasn't practiced this week. Campbell hasn't practiced this week. I'm recording this on Friday, November 25th. The Friday practice reports aren't available yet. I'd be shocked if either of them practiced or played this week. So I think for Campbell, it's going to be at least another week. For Dubs, I mean, how many games has Dubs missed now? Has it been 3? You see, I could maybe potentially see him come back next week, but I think it'll be closer to 6 weeks, where we're still probably 2 weeks away from Dubs coming back to action. Maybe they don't bring him back till after the bye week too. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect either Campbell or Dubs against the Eagles and how much they love to run. That's the Devondre Campbell absence, I think, is going to be the bigger one. That's the one where they're really going to miss. Outside of Alexander and maybe Kenny Clark, he might be their best defensive player anyway. So you want those players on the field. He's their best linebacker. And, you know, I like Chris Barnes, and Quay Walker is a rookie, but, you know, he shows that he's a rookie on the field. He makes some great plays, but there's also mistakes. There's clearly parts of his game that he needs to improve. And I like them both, but clearly this linebacker room is much better when Devondre Campbell's on the field. So those are the two big issues, I think, for the Packers. A bunch of players. One more player hasn't practiced this week at all is Rashid Walker, but that's with an illness. So not sure how he's feeling, when those symptoms will go away. If he's feeling fine by... And that might be a thing where if he doesn't practice all this week, he doesn't play. Maybe the Packers just kind of go with that. But with players on it, like with an illness, I mean, he is just a backup offensive lineman. I suppose that might be, we'll see, because David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins both didn't practice Wednesday, limited practice Thursday. I'd imagine it's going to be that the rest of the season. So the problem with either of them is it could look like they're fine to play, and then suddenly a last minute they're not playing is the risk for both Jenkins and Bakhtiari. But I mean, the Packers and us have to assume that they're both playing every week without really knowing for sure until we see those actives and actives on Sunday. But I'd imagine if they're both in, the need for Rashid Walker isn't as pressing, to be honest. So going from Rashid Walker to Quay Walker. So Quay Walker, the rookie, is dealing with a shoulder injury, and then Chris Barnes dealing with a hand injury. You know, Walker's practiced fully with the shoulder injury, so it seems like he's definitely fine to play. Barnes, I know he's missed time earlier in the season, was limited Wednesday, full practice Thursday. Again, that looks like he's going to play. So again, really the only two starters that the Packers are missing are Campbell and Dubs. For the Eagles, there's not really anything. There's two players listed. There's a bunch of players listed. Actually, sorry, there's three players listed with something other than rest. So it seems like they gave a bunch of players the day off Wednesday and really limited things Thursday. From the Eagles' perspective, there's really only three injuries listed on the injury report. You've got cornerback Josh Jobe with a hamstring injury, but he was limited both Wednesday, Thursday. I'd expect him to play. He's also backup corner. So if he's out, it's not a huge issue. Darius Slay, James Bradbury. That's two great corners that Lazard and Christian Watson are going to have a hard time with. I won't mention Sammy Watkins because he'll have a hard time playing against air. So, Sammy Watkins, what a waste. I was somewhat optimistic for Watkins in the offseason. Okay, can he recapture what he was? But yeah, he looks washed. He had just too many injuries. His body's too broken down. He can't do what he used to. So, glad it was just, I'm pretty sure it was just a one-year contract because there's no reason. I mean, honestly, Watkins is almost, actually, there's probably more reason I already forgot his name. He's been off the team for a week, and I already forgot his name. Amari Rodgers. I just want to forget him completely. Because, again, Amari Rodgers had a rookie contract still invested in him. So, financially, it makes sense to keep him. As opposed to Watkins in his final year, he's really not doing anything. I mean, he's out there on offense, running routes, occasionally getting targets. But he's almost to the point where I think they should just cut him, too. So, yeah. Sorry, Sammy Watkins, but not sorry. This is Sammy Watkins' fault for not being. I mean, it's the injuries, right? I think that's really what it's come down to. The injuries have kind of broken down his body so much, whether it's hamstring injuries, I mean, knee injuries in the past too. He does not have the same speed and explosiveness to, you know, the timing of his routes and getting out of his breaks quickly. It just seems like he's just so slow doing that. So, great receivers on the other side, though, for the Eagles. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, however, both were... Actually, Brown didn't practice at all on Thursday with an illness. So back to the point I was making with Rashid Walker from the Packers. With Brown, it being an illness, as long as the symptoms go away and he feels fine, he's going to play. So Devontae Smith, however, limited with a knee injury. That, I mean, if he's limited on Thursday, and see, like, he didn't practice at all Wednesday with... Again, there's a bunch of players that didn't practice because of rest. So it seems like he might have been pushed towards that as well. And then they gave him the rest, and he's still not fully participating in practice yet. But we'll have to see. I'd imagine both play. And without Dallas Goedert, those really are the two main targets in the passing game. So from a Packers coverage perspective, I mean, body type-wise, Rasul Douglas would actually fit better with Brown, bigger body size. And Jair can actually finally be taller than a receiver he's covering if he's covering Devontae Smith. But I think the opposite would still be fine. And Brown, you know, especially if Brown's going to play a lot in the slot. I mean, it's been weird this year because there's been times where, okay, we want Alexander to shadow. They did it against Washington. It didn't work so well, so it seems like they've reverted back to their zone defense. They'll stick to their sides. If Brown's a lot in the slot, he probably will end up seeing a lot of Rasul Douglas. So you probably just leave it as is. If Smith's on the perimeter, you hope that he's on Jair's side every time. Because you don't want to waste Jair Alexander covering Quez Watkins or whoever their third receiver is. Like, that just seems like a waste. Like, you want Alexander to be on either on Brown or Smith on every single play. if he's forced to stay on his side, he may not, I mean, Devontae Smith's probably going to play mostly on the outside. So if he stays on Alexander's side, that's great. But if he's moved around side to side, that's not so great. Because then, I mean, I'm fine. It's not so much Stokes being on Smith that's the problem. It's just that, again, you're wasting Alexander, having him cover Quay Watkins. Like, why? Why? Against, especially for a team that is so run heavy, you're not really worried about Quez Watkins. I said Quay Watkins, didn't I? Quay Walker, right? Like, I'm man. This Packers season has just got me for a loop, man. I swear. I frankly don't see much hope that they can win this game. I said that against the Cowboys too, and that look how that turned out. And suddenly I was more hopeful against the Titans, and look how that turned out. So I have no idea how to feel. It seems like their best games this year are the ones they've played where we didn't think, like, you know, they lost against the Bills, but they played pretty well against the Bills and didn't think there's any hope to win. So I'm going to go with that same theory again. There's a 5% chance they win this game, and hopefully the Packers know that, and it brings the best out of them. We have to be that 95th percentile version of us and to play against the best teams, which right now the Eagles are the number one seed in the NFC. So, you know, you're talking about class teams. If the Packers somehow make it to the playoffs, it's probably a team they might meet in the wild card or divisional round. So, yeah, you've got to take it to this team. They are a measuring stick. I don't think they're going to win. It'll be good. You know, moral victories are great if you can be close. But the truth is, the Packers need wins. They're 4-7. They really can't afford to be 4-8. Because at that point, it really will feel like they have to win every game to make the playoffs. Because we've seen 10-win teams miss the playoffs before. Okay, not so much with 7 teams per conference making it. So, yeah, but still, even last year, I don't think a 9-win team made the playoffs even with the additional teams. And if they did, I don't think there's too many. It's not even like there's good teams in the NFC. Just too many teams have too many wins in the NFC to think that 9 wins is going to be enough to get to the playoffs. So, you look at it that way, the Packers can really afford to lose one game the rest of the season. Is it this game against the Eagles? This might be one of their tougher tests. They got to play the Vikings again. That's a tough test. It's probably those are the two toughest tests the rest of the way. Realistically, the Packers have to win one of those games. So you may as well win this one against the Eagles if you're the Packers, even though I don't necessarily see much hope in that. But yeah, we'll have to find out how things go and find out next week. Trying to plan to do our normal Monday recording so to get that episode out by Monday night. Yeah, we'll aim to record the reaction episode to this Eagles-Packers game then. But of course, until then, you can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Our co-hosts individually, or your co-hosts individually, Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @SenraSays. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores, and it gives you access to all the great Full Press Coverage content in one convenient spot. Also, want to shout out PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song For Your Body as our intro and outro music. So appreciate PA for that. And also want to let people know PA just released, just yesterday, November 24th, a new song called Bad Boy Outside. So BBO by PA the Second. So check it out on all the all your streaming services, all your music services. It should be available there. And again, really appreciate PA for letting us use such great music as our intro and outro songs. Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners? Oh wait, Jesse's not here. I'll say it though. I'll say Jesse's favorite catchphrase. And I mean, they'll really need it this week. Like I mentioned, the Packers realistically can afford to lose one game the rest of the season. So, gotta stack those wins up. These multi-game losing streaks have to end. End this one now. You just lost the Titans. Go back in the winning game right away if you're the Packers, and we'll encourage them here by saying, go Pack, go. And, well, we'll find out if that worked on the next episode of the Full Press Packers Pod. The crest for your body.